increase your rate of climb.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory. That makes me want to scream like the mother from the beginning of this movie. That's how this movie makes me feel, too. That's a perfect encapsulation. Like, I want to scream and then yawn.
Well, you know, this is indeed the Brothers Movie Factory, and at first, you know, it's all ooh and ah, and then there's running and screaming.
And no Sega.
And that sums up the Brothers Movie Factory, too.
We don't have Sega, so it boils down to. Because Sega does not do what Nintendo does.
This movie is a product of the 90s. She's even Sega.
I'm like,
she's such a troglodyte.
I don't even think Sega was popular when this one came out. Like, I think it was a dying breed.
Maybe that's what she means. Like, she doesn't even have Sega. Like, she doesn't even have a Sega. Like, she doesn't have any. Like,
she's worthless.
Yeah, like, she doesn't even have that.
She doesn't have Sega. She just has Turbo graphics.
Mm-hmm.
But indeed, we are the Brothers Movie Factory, and what we do here on the pod is every week we take a film, we watch said film, we then take the pod to discuss that film, what we liked, what we didn't, what was good, what was bad. We then submit that movie to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, same story, same everything like that. Just different cast and crew for the modern booking. And then maybe we'll ask a little questiony time at the end. So, for the month of August, which we took a little bit of an elongated break here. I mean, again, precursor, those of you who have been keeping up with the show, maybe this is your first show. Audio might be a little off. Using headsets, quarantining, being safe. But what we do, guys, like we said, we're going to take a film, watch said film. And this week, into the whole month of August, we decided that we will be watching sequels. We're going to spend August watching sequels of films. Maybe I don't know if we hashed it fully out, that we were going to do sequels of movies we've already watched.
Yes, sequels to the Brothers Movie Factory.
Which we kind of started with Jaws, because we did Jaws 2.
Well, that's what gave me the idea. Like, we did that, which was a sequel to, we did a review of Jaws last year. So, why don't you do Jaws 2 for, like, the next July episode. But,
can't wait for Jaws 3.
Yeah, this month, I have a little list lined up that I'll run over with you at a later time. But, I figured why not start sequel month leading up to our two-year anniversary, which is coming up very soon.
Indeed.
Early September. 2 years of the Brothers Movie Factory.
And are you happy you stuck with us?
Yeah. All 30 of you. So, and that's generous. So, here we are. Why not kick it off with Lost World Jurassic Park, a movie that you and I differ on, I believe.
Very much so. You know what I do want to bring up before we get into it is I was just reading, I forget who wrote it. It doesn't even matter because of how wrong the whole list was, but it was it was the best Steven Spielberg movies ranked. I forget what I think it might have been like Variety or something stupid like that. It was just on my Google feed. But they listed this movie way higher than Hook. And Hook, they listed as his second worst movie.
A lot of people
say that, apparently.
Yes, that's like a notorious thing. I don't know why. When it came out, it was not well received. Even Spielberg himself doesn't like Hook.
Yeah, but their whole argument was like, if you take off your rose-tinted glasses, you'll see that it's not that good of a film. And I'm like, I think it's good. I think it's really good. Like, I don't even have rose-tinted glasses for it, I don't think. I just think it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's like my second or third favorite movie of all time.
His other argument was that it's too long. It's too long for a kid's movie.
It is 2.5 hours long.
Like, it is long, but
it is pretty long.
That doesn't negate. That'd be like saying, like, Gone with the Wind, one of the worst movies of all time. Why? That's too long.
I also would argue that it's not even a kid's movie. It's the fucking PG-13, and it's about an adult protagonist.
Rufio dies. He gets stabbed.
But you know who else dies also tragically? Eddie. In Lost World,
yeah,
Jurassic Park.
He's like the only likable character in this whole movie. Anyways, let's talk about it.
That is incorrect.
No, it's not. Anyways, let's go ahead and get into the movie. So Lost World, Jurassic Park, a movie, not a movie that you could say, I guess a continuation of a story that was never meant to have a continuation. Michael Crichton wrote Jurassic Park as a one-off. He wanted it. Now, he did end up writing Lost World, but he originally wrote it. I mean, in the book, the island gets nuked at the end.
Right.
And in the movie, obviously, they chose not to do that. And that's something I actually prefer in the book. Or in the movie, rather. In the movie, I prefer that they just kind of let it be, because it did allow for this universe as weird and roller coaster ride of this universe has had in their sequels and their re-release, what would we say? It's a
reboot.
Jurassic World. But it's been able to do that because of the things they changed in the first movie. The book, it wasn't supposed to happen, but then they were going to make a new movie, so he started working on it.
Do you know who told Michael Crichton that they need a sequel?
Was it Spielberg?
It was Spielberg himself. Yeah. He's like, please write another book so we have source material, because we would really like to make another movie. And Spielberg, he took a hiatus after Jurassic Park and Schindler's List. He did like double duty that year. So he took about 4 years off, which he had not done his whole career pretty much up to this point. So he basically, he's like, I made the most financially successful movie of all time, and I won my Oscar, so I'm taking a break.
There it is.
Yeah, so Spielberg.
Spielberg. Welcome to Spielberg, baby.
Steven Spielberg, if he ever comes to Pittsburgh.
That's a wrestling name. You gotta fuck someone up.
Steely McBeam and his tag team partner, Steven Spielberg. What's up, guys?
That's like a 100% like WWE 80s name.
Yeah, it is.
Yankum teaming with.
Steven Spielberg, if he had a pro wrestling finisher and it was based on one of his movies, what would it be called?
The Lost World.
The Lost World.
It might be the hook.
He gets him like almost in a cross face, but he like gives him a fish hook. I don't know what it would be, but I think I would call it I Pardon You.
Jesus. I Pardon.
God.
But that's he has the list, the Schindler's List.
He just made the list. Maybe his finisher is something like you go out like Quint.
Jesus. He just bites your legs.
Tap.
Ask him. Why is he Jericho?
Why is Steven Spielberg Chris Jericho? So Steven Spielberg came out of a hiatus to return to the Lost World Jurassic Park. And we get this film, and I wanna talk about the movie briefly, like what it's about, what we like, what we don't. I also did some research on the book, because you did not read this book. You read
Jurassic Park, correct?
Yeah, so I read all of Jurassic Park, loved it, and I immediately bought Lost World. And I started Lost World. I took it to the beach. I got about 100 pages in, and the craziest thing happened. It was so hot one day that the glue melted, so all the pages fell out of the book.
My pages are gone. I can't read it.
Yeah, it's broken. The book's broken. So I never did finish it. I got decently far in. I mean, I guess it's like a 400-page book, I think. And I did get 100 pages in. Mm-hmm. It is fairly different. I know most of the differences. And there's a lot of similarities to the first one. Like, instead of it being Malcolm's daughter, it's like his lab assistant and her friend.
Right.
And there's two kids, much like Timmy and
Lex.
Lex. I want to say Alex. I'm like, that's not right.
I think it's Alex or Alexis or something. Call it Lex.
Yeah, Lex. Tim and Lex. Which even in the book, the original Jurassic Park, Tim was the older sibling that was computer heavy, and Lex was the younger sibling that was really into dinosaurs.
Yeah, little changes. That just is to match Spielberg's style, and that went into this movie as well. Especially,
this movie tried to be really grandiose in comparison to what the book does.
Right, and the film just taking its main character Ian Malcolm much different in this film than in the book. And I mean, like I said, we'll touch on the book a little later. What is?
How Ian Malcolm is portrayed in this versus, because I see him as completely different. He's not like, in the first one, he's really cool, calm, and collected. Now, granted, in the first one, he is injured for half the movie. But in the second one, in Lost World, it's not. I don't see him as the same character. He's a lot more nervous, which makes sense.
Everything you're saying makes sense for the first film. Like you said, he's like cool, calm, collected. Mr. Quippy one-liner and all that. But he goes through the trauma of Jurassic Park. He goes through seeing people die and being chased, not only chased, but attacked by a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Oh, it's this and one. He didn't freeze.
Yeah, that's right.
Ian, freeze.
Got the gads. He's dealing with.
If Jeff Goldblum got out of a car in the middle of the street and was holding the flare and I saw him and he went, hey, 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 I would have the same reaction that T-Rex had. I'd be like, Jeff Goldblum,
You'd be like, Jeff Goldblum, freeze. I want your autograph. Maybe it's Jeff Goldblum and Steven Spielberg, Pittsburgh natives.
Jeff Goldberg. Jeff Goldberg and Steven Spielberg.
That rocks hard, man.
From Pittsburgh, is he?
No, he's not. He's actually from I think he's from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yuck.
And
where are you from, Steven? I'll find out.
Ian McKellen. Ian Malcolm.
You can tell we're doing this early in the morning.
Ian Malcolm.
Ian McKellen. It might have been a more interesting movie if it was him.
Life finds a way.
He is from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, God. Ian Malcolm went through so much shit. So in the sequel, Lost World, you find out that he has been discredited as a scientist because he signed a waiver that he would not divulge the secrets of Jurassic Park, even, despite what happened. He went on and did that. So Ingen basically discredited him, ruined his reputation. So as a character, he's gone through a lot. So it makes sense to me why he would at least act different or approach things different. But he's still at the core of Ian Malcolm as a film character. He's Jeff Goldblum. And that's who he is in this movie, too.
He's definitely Jeff Goldblum.
He's exactly Jeff Goldblum the whole time. So, what am I trying to say here? What am I trying to get at? It starts off hot and heavy real quick. Well, one, the movie, correct me if I'm wrong, starts the way the first book starts.
To a degree,
is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
It's an adaptation.
Yeah, Compy attacks a little girl on an island. It's either that, it's been so long since I read the book, or it has something, they find a Compy on the island, something of that nature.
Right.
Because the original book opens not with the Velociraptor attack, but
right.
with the hospital accepting the guy to, the mm-hmm. emergency room from the Velociraptor attack.
Okay.
So it's like a different, which is actually a really cool start to a book as well. But that's how the first book starts. Lost World starts basically just kind of filling you in, Malcolm, where's Malcolm?
So and stuff. As a movie, it starts off pretty exciting. You got this. For me, it's probably nostalgia, but I really remember this scene very well, just from youth, and it scared me when I was younger. But as an adult, it has maybe my favorite movie cut transition of all time. And we mentioned it earlier, the mother scream to the cut of Jeff Goldblum mid-yawn. I love that. With the subway screeching in the background. It just blends real well. And I'll say stuff like that a lot throughout this movie review because the film techniques are superior to anything that I've ever done. So it's just a really well made film is what I'm saying here. So I'm curious because this movie does get a lot of hate.
It's not Jurassic Park, I guess.
That's just your opinion, man.
Apparently it's the opinion of 51% of people because it's got a 51% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes, and it is the opinion of a new generation. Basically.
It's so bland that if you look up Lost World Jurassic Park on IMDb, the trailer is just a trailer for Jurassic Park. That's how much they don't want to be.
Well, the movie gets going. Jeff Goldblum gets called to visit with John Hammond, so we get a nice return to some characters from the first film. Now, this movie, as we've mentioned, is an adaptation of the book, so the book doesn't have John Hammond and all that, because he's a real douche, and he dies in the book. So I did like how they were able to introduce him into this movie, and he basically
said... Same mistake again. No, you're making...
I don't know.
New ones.
Yeah. So he explains there is a new island that you're right. Where they bred the dinosaurs before bringing them to Isla Nublar. They've been living peacefully.
That's a plot hole though, right? Because he demanded to be at the birth of every dinosaur.
That's right.
why were they breeding dinosaurs on Jurassic Park?
I demand to be for the birth of every dinosaur on this island.
On this island specifically, because we have two others.
Maybe he's just full of shit. That would make sense, too.
You as an old man.
I guarantee it. he basically explains that after that little incident with the little girl and the Compies, that the public's trying to shut them down and all that, so they want to create a case. He wants a research team to go and document these dinosaurs living peacefully on their own and have scientific evidence that they can be left alone and they don't need to be meddled with. And this incorporates Jeff Goldblum because he wants him to be one of the part of the team. But Jeff obviously is not going. But he finds out his girlfriend is already there. She's a paleontologist. So it's not a research expedition anymore. It's a rescue mission, and it leaves now. That's a great line. And then the music kicks in. You're like, fuck, yes, this is Jurassic Park. And, you know, I just want to point something out, too. I've watched Jeff Goldblum walk a lot in this movie just because he kind of naturally has this swagger to him when he walks. In this movie, it's a little sharper, and I noticed it's a limp. It's a slight limp from the first movie.
In the book, he has to use a cane.
Yeah. So I did like that they like brought that over, because I'm looking at this as a movie, not an adaptation of the book. Because
in Jurassic Park, the book ends. You basically think Malcolm dies. It's not.
He did die, presumably.
It's presumed that he died. Yeah. And then in the book, I'm pretty sure they basically start by like he did die, and they like brought him back, basically. Like he was rescued. They resuscitated.
Yeah. So he reluctantly is part of the team that's going to go to Isla Sorna, and he wants to just rescue his girlfriend, and everyone else is going to do the job that they're sent to do. So, yes, indeed, you get introduced to Eddie. Is it Nick? Or what's his name? Or is it Hank?
It's Vince Vaughn.
It's Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn and Vince Vaughn. It's Nick Van Owen and Eddie Carr.
Yeah. So, and you get introduced to his Jeff Goldblum's daughter, Kelly. And she's the subject of a lot of criticism too, because why is she even there, kind of thing.
To be a gymnastics ex machina.
Yeah, exactly. A gymnastics raptor killer. She basically serves the purpose of giving a line at the beginning of the movie and fulfilling that line near the end of the movie.
And talking about Sega. To bow to the sponsors.
Yeah, so that's usually her guff. Is like, why would she even there?
Think? Like, is that a product placement?
Probably not.
You don't think? Like, they're like, no. Just say our name.
No, I don't think so. Because if anything, it's said in a demeaning way.
No, it's not, though, I don't think.
It is. She doesn't even have Sega. She's such a troglodyte.
What's a troglodyte even mean?
Look it up. I don't know. but I don't mind her because for a few reasons. One, she's that character for the kids to like kind of relate to. Like, oh, there's this young child, kind of like me, going to this dinosaur island and reacting in that way. It's something for the kids to relate to. Whether it's successful or not, I don't know. She doesn't bother me, really. Because I like some of her reactions to things throughout the film.
A troglodyte is a cave dweller. A person who lived in a cave, or a hermit. A person who is regarded as being deliberately ignorant or old-fashioned.
It's a troglodyte.
So, when it's basically saying she's so old-school, she doesn't have Sega. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. If she was a troglodyte in 1997... she would have Sega.
So they're off on the adventure all the way to Isla Sorna to rescue Sarah, who doesn't need rescued.
Cinco Mortes.
Yep, and there's some good lines in this movie. Jeff Goldblum smacking the satellite phone, and he's like, oh, whoa, you can't get it. You got a baby. You got to love it. He's like, I love it when it works. He's like, it'll work when you love it. I like that line. And then, of course, Vince Vaughn speaking to the – is he Spanish or Cuban or Costa Rican? Costa Rican.
Yeah.
He's talking about the island. He's like, but he will not stay here. Blah, 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 blah. He's like, they call this island Cinco Muertes. Five deaths.
I didn't know that we were going to a dangerous island.
Well, most of these guys, Vince Vaughn says it.
Fame. He like wants.
No. He. They didn't. There's a line where they first see the Stegosauruses, And I keep wanting to say Ian McKellen. Ian Malcolm is like, what did you think you're going to see here? And Vince Vaughn's like, I don't know, big iguanas. Like, they didn't really understand, like, real dinosaurs. They didn't believe it because no one believed it. No one believed Jeff Goldblum because he was discredited. They don't really cover that too much. Those are more like just lines they give out in the beginning of the movie. So
yeah, I mean, I think that Vince Vaughn, this is a different character than I'm used to seeing Vince Vaughn play, and I think he does a good job at it, other than him chewing gum, because that is what I'm used to seeing Vince Vaughn do.
Spit.
Richard,
you're dumb.
Richard Schiff is actually really good in this movie. I think Richard Schiff is pretty underrated.
Is he Eddie Carr?
Yeah. He's in a lot of movies. Like, a lot
he's
of movies.
Always, and he's, yeah,
like
he's always the
doctor now. He's like one of the main characters of the Good Doctor.
Yeah, he's always that guy, kind of like another guy in this movie, who's always like, I don't want to say background character, but just never really the lead. He's a secondary character. He's always really good. And so is, I can never pronounce his name, but he's the guy who ultimately gets eaten by the compies.
The bad man.
The bad man. He's always good. He's in the Brothers Grimm. He's with the Grimmies.
The Grimms. I want to see the talking Grimmie.
yeah, he's always good. Richard something, I think. Or Peter. It's Peter something.
Peter O'Toole.
But anywho, they quickly find Sarah. Sarah! Sarah Harding! How many Sarahs do you think are on this island? Sarah! So everyone's reunited. They're getting ready to leave. And he finds out that Kelly stowed away on the cool bus. And I remember always... I always wanted that bus. Like, it looks so cool. And now that I live in Pittsburgh, like, that's the type of bus that drives around all the time.
You're like, now I live in Pittsburgh, and I, you know, have a little bit of money, I'll just buy it.
Yeah, I mean,
I always wanted that toy.
I did. I did want that toy. And I really think a lot of this movie, like, a lot of the vehicles and some of the new dinosaurs introduced were created just to make toys, which is fine.
Obviously.
Makes sense. Yeah.
The whole reason Spinosaurus was introduced.
Exactly. And, you know, this movie, upon release, was the highest... was it the highest grossing? Oh, no, it was the biggest opening. It was the biggest opening weekend of a movie until Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, which came out 5 years later. So that's pretty good. It did pretty good for itself. It was a very successful movie. But anywho, this is where from here you start seeing dinosaurs and, you know, more action sequences, and then you find that Injun, the other side Injun, the money side of Injun.
Why would they send two teams?
Is invading the island because they want to capture these dinosaurs, round them up, yeah, and they want money. So they're opening, like, basically a Jurassic Park resort, or what would you call it, in San Diego is their big old plot. So now the science team has become, what, like, activists, and they're going to free the dinosaurs, and it caused a lot of chaos.
That like had the wife watch Jurassic Park. She liked it, and then we watched Lost World, and she made a good point that I agree with, and that this is about when this starts taking the turn. She said a lot of the characters in this movie are so stupid that I don't feel bad for them. Like, they're making so many dumb decisions, and that is so true.
We'll see. We'll see, because
they make many dumb decisions.
Well, go ahead and say your dumb decisions, and I'll do my damnedest to defend it.
They release they're like, oh, we're the good guys. Let's release all these dinosaurs and create a stampede that will murder people.
Well, you shouldn't have fucked with the natural order of things.
But then they go ahead and they fuck with the natural order by saving that T-Rex and sticking fucking gum in its leg. Like, that's gonna work.
I mean,
I need something pliable that'll dissolve in a couple months. I'm like, you're literally sticking gum in his leg.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Just let it die. It'll they'll have another one.
See, she's a paleontologist. He's a scientist. And she's like so passionate about that.
She's no paleobotanist, though.
And then Vince Vaughn's character is like, he's like a big activist. He's a photographer indeed, but he also is like I just said. So it makes sense that you see them as making the dumb decisions, but they're making what they feel are the right decisions. So I don't see it as like a movie flaw. It's within their character. It makes sense. As far as characters go, whether you like it or not is different.
Sure, if it makes sense, yeah, but at the same time, it doesn't mean it's likable and that they're supposed to be your main characters that you like.
That's just your opinion, man, because I like it.
You do, but like I said, 51% of people don't.
Well, here we are.
I mean, it's still better than Talking Raptors in 3. But
I don't know if it is.
For whatever reason, I feel like I watched 3 more than any of them.
Yeah.
I think I watched 3 more than 2, and every time I'm like, why am I watching this? This movie sucks.
I haven't seen Lost World Jurassic Park in a very long time. I realized
that's the last time. I feel like you did.
It might have been. It's been at least over a decade since I watched this movie, and rewatching it, I enjoyed it so much, especially the scene that came next, which I think is the best scene in the movie. The T-Rex comes back, and I love that part where he takes Kelly up to the high hide. And he's like, oh, there's nothing to worry about up here. You know, you're above the trees, blah, blah, blah. And he hears the T-Rex. You know, that face. And, so what leads next is the T-Rex attack on the bus, which, holy shit, is intense. What do you got to say about that scene?
I like that. I shit on the movie a lot because I don't necessarily think it's that great. I think it's really slow-paced. Just doesn't capture the same magic. Like the first one has a magic to it and a magnetism with each character. Where this one, I really only care about Jeff Goldblum's character and the guy that wants to kill the T-Rex. That's like literally the only two characters I care about.
And Eddie. What about Eddie? You said he's the only likable character.
He is like one of the only likable characters. I like Eddie. Even, like, to the point, like, I know it was comedy, I know, but, like, Eddie goes to save him, and he's like, what do you need? Rope? I got rope. Anything else? Yeah, I'll take a cheeseburger. No pickles on mine. I'm like, fuck you guys. I hope you fall.
Hey, that's Jeff Goldblum, you know, being Ian Malcolm, apparently.
I guess.
Like, it's kind of like, what else the fuck do you think we need? Let's get us the hell out of here.
He is. Then he dies.
Oh God! But no, before we say that, that shot of Julianne Moore, Sarah, mm-hmm. falling and landing on the glass and like slowly that's getting dragging. Up. And, oh my God! So like knuckle biting. The radio phone falling like that's up and it's like quiet for a second and just boosh, really intense. And yes, Eddie. And this is an extremely exciting sequence, and Eddie is doing his damnedest to save them, and ultimately he kind of does, but at the cost of his own life, because the T-Rex has come. And what I can only say is an unnecessary death.
Yeah.
Like he died worse than anyone else in this movie, and he's the good guy.
Yeah, he fucking gets... bitten in half by two. He's, to be fair, he's probably dead before this happens, but
he's not because he gets grabbed, he gets thrown in the air, and he screams, and they both like cramp on him and rip him apart.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ!
He just saved these people, and they're like, "Yeah, fuck him."
Well, the T-Rex just fed. Oh, God. So, yeah, no one else like gets Genera, that bad.
In the first one, Genera made sense because he's an asshole. Like, unlikable through the whole movie.
He's likable, right. Though. Like, Genera, the lawyer.
Yes, you didn't. He has magnetism to his character because he's just kind of... Like, he had little things. Like, Genera had little things that made you kind of, like, giggle. Like, is this... Are these characters auto-erotica? Like that's funny. That's comedy. But he was
a cock. Yeah. Like Eddie's a cock.
We'll have a coupon day. But in this, Eddie's nice. He's nice the whole movie. Vince Vaughn should have died. It was Vince Vaughn's fault. And he does. I mean, Vince Vaughn does kind of die in this movie because he does just disappear for the final act.
Well, I was just going to ask that because I remember I think I was on my phone actually looking up trivia of this movie near that scene, like when they're heading back to San Diego. And I'm like, where did Vince Vaughn go? Did he like stay there?
He, well, like the last time you see him, because they get up.
He stayed with like the rescue team or something?
Yeah, they like get up off the after Eddie dies. They kind of team up with the other team from InGen, and they're trying to basically escape the island now. That leads to the coolest shot in the movie is when the InGen team and everyone are like going through the tall grass, and you see the raptors coming in.
Oh, yeah.
That's an awesome shot. And then the raptors
go through the tall grass. Yeah.
Well, I mean, anyone who played Pokemon wouldn't know. But but we go, like, they get to whatever that, the lab or the bus depot or whatever the fuck it is. And they're getting attacked by raptors. And he, like, goes to call in the rescue team or call in the helicopter or something. And then that's the last you really see him. Like, Kelly fucking kicks a raptor through a window into some spikes.
Into the window. What if that Velociraptor was voiced by Jimmy Stewart?
I would have ate him alive.
Like, what are you doing there, little girl? You're swinging around.
You want the moon?
She's like, do you? Kaboom!
Oh, Jesus.
They get some tail.
My side.
Oh, Madeline.
Madeline. Put the hood on for me. That's gymnastics ex machina. Yeah, like they're being chased. That scene is really intense, and then they are being chased by the raptors, and they're trying to escape. And it's like Jeff Goldblum's cornered with, I think Julian Moore is cornered too. I think they're both cornered and doing the loop de loop and pull. She fucking.
And Kelly's looking cool and kicks that raptor to death.
I'm like, no, I'm sorry. Even if she got some momentum, she's like a wet 90 pounds maybe. Like 90 pounds soaking wet. Like she's not kicking that fucking raptor out.
Momentum. Have you ever been hit by 95 pounds going like even more than 5 miles an hour?
Those things are built. Like that's like a 95 pound person trying to tackle like Ezekiel Elliott, like a 225-pound running back in the NFL. Like, that's the same idea.
I wish I could edit that visual and just poof.
That's what we'll do. We'll find a clip of Ezekiel Elliott running, like getting tackled, but we'll replace it with Kelly kicking him.
Yeah.
I'll tag him in it because we're friends.
You know what else really gave me the willies when I was a kid was when they're hiding in the waterfall. And the T-Rex is, like, putting its nose in. Mm. And that guy gets a snake. He's like, oh, it's a snake. Yeah. I'll just kill myself. But that T-Rex gets them. That always gave me the willies. Also, movie factoid. It's more of a science factoid. That same scene, the T-Rex sticks its nose in, it's sniffing. And it sticks its tongue out and licks Sarah. And it, like, scares the shit out of her. This is recently, I think it might have been like 2015, they discovered that dinosaurs did have tongues, but they were probably closer to that of like alligators and crocodiles, or like they're like a little tiny thing that's like sits at the bottom of your mouth. It doesn't really like come out like our tongues do, or like a lizard tongue. They're just like a little tiny thing.
I mean, that's just how everything's going. Is like now they saying like raptors weren't much bigger than like a turkey, like and
like a 6 foot turkey.
Yeah. They're
nah. Like, I thought they discovered that they're pretty big. Didn't they?
I don't think so. I think they said raptors are, like, feathered.
They're definitely, like, completely covered in feathers.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that never bothers me, like, even now. Because I'm like, they say the DNA is not complete, and they're mixing it with frogs. So I'm like, yeah, that's why they're more amphibian or more reptilious, because they have other DNAs.
And honestly, they've discovered so much more about dinosaurs because of Jurassic Park, in that it inspired so many more people to study dinosaurs. So they've been able to make so many more discoveries, and it's a movie, so that doesn't really bother me.
Yeah, tell them to relax.
Yeah, you guys relax. Make a good Jurassic World movie. How about you focus on that?
Hey, first one was good. Second one
is all right. First Jurassic World, I enjoy. It has good moments, especially in the finale. The Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom is just smut.
But let's close out this movie, because the ending sequence of this movie I do like. It doesn't necessarily make sense. Like, it's cool. The T-Rex killing the whole... They do capture the T-Rex. They're going to bring the T-Rex back to San Diego. The T-Rex gets out, but the whole crew, that's a suspenseful scene, because they're coming in, the boat's coming in, it's going to crash, and, like, the whole crew is dead. But I do think it is a plot hole, and you could try and argue it, but I do think it's a plot hole, is how that T-Rex got out. It's, like, locked in there, and they let it out. It got out, killed everyone, then went back in.
Yep, that is a known plot hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no defense for that one.
It's like, well, guys, I'm gonna press this button, get my head in here, and good.
Yeah, maybe the baby did it. Maybe the baby's not there.
Maybe it locks from the inside. We don't know. That's stupid, but.
Yeah, it doesn't. That part doesn't make any sense. Maybe they just ate themselves.
It would have been better if it was like there was a raptor on board and a T-Rex.
Yeah.
And, like, at the end of the movie, post-credit scene, they show, like, a raptor, like, in San Diego.
Now, I could be wrong, which I do think I am. There was a scene written – I am wrong. I was going to say there was a scene written during the escape of the island where pterodactyls come and attack helicopters, but they didn't ultimately do that. I was going to say – I was confused in my thought. I was like, maybe it was written that pterodactyls attack the boat, which would make more sense, I suppose. But that didn't happen. That's just me making something up.
The whole way to San Diego.
Well, they just got there, a couple miles out. But what follows is a great sequence of the T-Rex causing havoc in San Diego. While Jeff Goldblum or Ian Malcolm and Sarah are looking for the baby, because they want to get the baby and basically bait the T-Rex back to the boat, because they don't want this animal to be killed, which will happen by the military.
That's what they do.
There's some great scenes though, like the little boy waking up his parents, like, you know, his dinosaur out my window and that kind of stuff's funny. There's a bit where it is chasing this group of Japanese men, and they're running and screaming. And when they're screaming, if you translate it, it says, "I left Japan for this."
Nice.
Yeah. Is that? I left Japan for this.
Is that slightly racist?
I don't think it's racist.
It's basically just equating to Godzilla.
Yeah, it's a callback,
I suppose.
Yeah.
Spielberg's Godzilla.
Happy. We just saw it. He attacks San Diego. Good stuff. And then it comes to a nice close where the bad guy gets his. Because he's looking for the baby T-Rex, which he assumes is, you know, still out medically. What are they doped him up. But the T-Rex, the baby T-Rex is awake. The big T-Rex follows him in, and our bad guy, I can never remember his name. He is John Hammond's nephew.
Peter Ludlow.
Ludlow. Yes. And basically, the T-Rex allows its baby to practice feeding. Which is a nice callback to the book, because in the book, the main villain in Lost World, Jurassic Park, the book, is Dodson. Dodson. We got Dodson here. He returns, and he's pretty cucky. And what's he do? There's a part earlier in the book when he pushes Sarah off a boat to attempt to kill her. She obviously survives. And near the end of the book, both of them are hiding under a truck while the T-Rex is, like, searching for them. And Sarah shoves Dodson out from under the truck, and the T-Rex finds him, grabs him, but doesn't eat him. Gives him to the babies, and the baby eats him. Yeah. So similar as, like, a callback to the book, I guess.
Got
it. So, yeah, that's Jurassic World. The dinosaurs are saved. The military is not going to interfere. Not going to nuke anything. You get a nice closeout from Richard Attenborough as John Hammond describing the island and how everything's living in peace and that life has found a way. Yeah. And that kind of closes it out. I mean, the book's very different. I won't hit on the book too much. You can say some differences that you can think of. One, the biggest one to me is that Jeff Goldblum's character, Ian Malcolm, in the film did not want to go back to the island. He wanted to only save Sarah. In the book, he's excited to go back to the island to study dinosaurs. He does go to the island. He's kind of the Sarah. He gets trapped on the island, so they all go to rescue him.
Yeah.
That to me is the biggest difference. And I guess as movies go, like, it made sense to me why he didn't want to go back and that kind of thing. So
indeed. Let's think about what would happen if it came out today.
As a movie?
As a new movie. Director, I'm guessing Malcolm and Sarah. And who else? Yes.
Well, this is a tough one, because did you want to do, like, the main bad? Did you want to do Roland for fun? Who's the, you know, I want a Tyrannosaur, a buck, a male one.
I let's do that. Let's do Roland. Roland.
Because he was kind of fun.
Yeah, he is.
I like that actor, Peter Townsend.
Yeah, Peter Postlethwaite.
Peter Townsend. Who the fuck's that?
I don't know. Anyway, in this portion of the show, this is where we take the film and submit it to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched and imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Do you want to do composer? I think when we did Jurassic Park, I don't necessarily think we did do a composer.
I think I'm sure it was either Alan Silvestri or Hans Zimmer.
Odds are. I think we went with the Jurassic World composer,
Michael Giacchino.
Yeah, I think we went with him. So director, Malcolm, Sarah, and Roland Tembo. So who for director did you have?
For director, I have Doug Liman. Doug Liman has made a slew of successful movies, including Swingers, The Bourne Identity, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and Edge of Tomorrow, amongst others. But those are, like, his big ones. He's had some poopers here and there, like Jumper, and what else did he do? The American Made wasn't too well received, and neither was The Wall. I think The Wall wasn't. Which one am I thinking of? John Cena. He especially, like, Edge of Tomorrow, great visual director, great action, and is able to balance, yes, the action and the spectacle of a movie with character and making you care for these beings. So I really like a lot of his movies, especially his action, and an action heavy movie like Jurassic World is. And I want someone good behind the wheel.
Indeed. So for my choice, he hasn't had much in terms of movie directing experience. A lot of TV movies, a lot of TV series. Ultimately, I went with Jordan Vaught Roberts, the director of Kong Skull Island. He's directed other things, a couple episodes of Walking Dead. He's rumored to be directing the Metal Gear Solid movie or TV show or adaptation, whatever it may be. And he's done other things, but he did direct Kong Skull Island. If you watch Kong Skull Island, you do get Lost World vibes to a degree. And I think he handled that well, handled the action, and handled everything like that. So I thought Jordan Vaught Roberts, and both these that we've never used before, Doug Liman or Jordan Vaught Roberts. So I figured that's a good choice.
Let's see what the coin of fate decides, and I shall flip it here in a moment. Heads is you, tails is me. Oh, and we got a heads.
So, wait, me?
Yeah.
Thought so. I just wrote it backwards. Alrighty. Next then, Roland Tembo. Who you have playing him?
Well, who do you have in mind there, fella?
So for Roland Tembo, I wanted someone who is kind of a crazy madman hunter. I honestly went with an actor that I think would play this character a little different, but would be fun. And again, because of Kong Skull Island, I was like, he hunted down Kong. And I want Samuel L. Jackson, which I don't think really use. Is that who you have?
I was gonna say the same thing. And that would be a nice callback, sort of, because he played Mr. Arnold in Jurassic Park. Yeah. I was going to say Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, that's who I had in mind for that. Because, like I said, you could easily put, like, Brie Larson as Sarah, because she's basically the same character in Kong Skull Island. Not going to
do that,
but to that degree. So, yeah, if you're good with Sam Jackson, I'm good with Sam Jackson.
I think we're always good with Sam Jackson.
Well, obviously. That's why we don't use him that much. but continuing on then, who you got is Sarah?
Sarah, I have Mary Poppins herself. I had Emily Blunt, who's known for, you know, A Quiet Place and Devil Wears Prada and Mary Poppins Returns and Edge of Tomorrow, amongst others, Sicario, things like that. Great actress. And she's had her hand in both the drama side of things and the action side of things, for sure. I think we both really like her performances and her presence on screen.
Indeed. I went with an actress I don't think we've used before. I was looking for, like, a redhead, because Julianne Moore is obviously redhead, and I went with Isla Fisher. She is in movies like Wedding Crashers with Vince Vaughn, Keeping Up with the Joneses, and other movies like Now You See Me, a lot of other things. So I went with Isla Fisher to play Sarah Harding. I think she's a good pick for that. She has done roles similar to that, like a nerdier scientific person, to a degree. So I went with her for that role.
Okie dokie. Let us see what the coin tells us. And the coin has spoken, and it is indeed tails. Okay. So Emily Blunt.
Alrighty. Well, that kind of ruins my pick, but that's okay.
It helps my pick.
Oh, who you have for Malcolm? Did you go John Krasinski?
I didn't, John Krasinski. Real life couple, those two. Yeah. Real life married couple, indeed. John Krasinski and Emily Blunt. But John Krasinski, known for mainly for The Office, which he made quite some time ago, or finished some time ago. But lately, he's kind of having this resurgence as like a serious actor with like A Quiet Place and the show Jack Ryan, which is very popular. So he kind of does both the action and the drama these days, but he has been known to do, some comedy in the past and is known as a comical individual. So he, I think he'd be a good balance of all things. I'm not trying to say he needs to be like Jeff Goldblum, no one can, but as far as like the eccentricities, if that's a word, of Ian Malcolm, I think he can pull it off.
Indeed. So my pick, I also went with the real-life couple for Isla Fisher, which is her husband, Sacha Baron Cohen.
Interesting.
I think he's mostly known for his comedy, Borat, Bruno, The Dictator, yeah, things like that. But he has been in serious movies. He is a really good actor. And
he is a talent.
Kind of has the same look to a degree. I think he'd be able to pull that off. And we've never used Sacha Baron Cohen. Sacha Baron Cohen.
Interesting. Let's give her a flip and find out who we got. And it is Tails indeed. John Christensen. Do you remember who we each had picked for Ian Malcolm during our Jurassic Park episode last year?
No.
I had picked Will Smith.
Yuck.
And you had picked Paul Rudd.
Even grosser. Actually,
well, that's the one that won, Paul Rudd. And I just listened to this recently. I was like, you can have Paul Rudd if he has his mustache from Anchorman. And then, anyway, we flipped. Paul Rudd won. And I was just like, ugh. And you got so upset that I didn't like that pick. You're like, what? But you said, fuck you. Chew your gum. That's what you said.
Well, our Lost World Jurassic Park remake, we got Jordan Vaught Roberts directing, Ron Tembo played by Sam Jackson, Sarah played by Emily Blunt, and Malcolm played by John Krasinski. So that about wraps her up here. And usually we ask a question here at the end, but I'm going to close it out because I got to get going, actually. I got to get stuff going here. So
I do have one thing to say.
All right. Say it, and then we'll get out of here.
Increase your rate of climb.
This is being added post, but I have a very vivid memory of going to see this film, Lost World Jurassic Park, in the movie theater. It was 1997 indeed. And Ben, this was your first movie you ever saw in the theater. You were 2 years old. I don't know. I must have convinced Mom and Dad to take us to see Jurassic Park, or Lost World, rather. And I have a memory of seeing you run up and down the aisle. And we were the only people in the theater, so I remember that.
Thank God. So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check it out on Audioboom. That is our primary site. That's where we'll be posting first, and it subsequently gets shipped out everywhere else. So Spotify, Google Play, wherever you find your podcasts, we're there. You can also find us over at Twitter. We're at The Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting clips of the show and things like that, links to what we're going to be watching, et cetera, et cetera. You can also find us on Facebook.
Go to Facebook. If you type in The Brothers Movie Factory in the little search bar you got, you'll find us. Click it, like us, share us, follow along as I post memes and pictures of what we're watching each and every week, as well as links to the things Ben mentioned a moment ago, things like Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
Alrighty, and that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it, but until next week, brothers.
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 Brothers.